In this week's Parsha of Vayechi that we're going to read this coming Shabbos, we're all aware of the brachas that were given by Yaakov to his children. And these brachas are not just blessings of a local, parochial kind of nature, but essentially they are divrei nevuah. They're words of prophecy that have impact l'dorei doros, for all generations. Essentially, what Yaakov Avinu did was he defined the specific character traits of each shevet. And if you study each of the brachas carefully, you will understand and you'll be able to ferret out and discern the unique, distinctive, refined traits and midos of each of the shvatim. So at the end, after all these brachas are recorded, the Torah has the following statement. And I'm reading now from Perek Mem Tes, Pasuk Chav Ches. Right after the brachos were delineated, were articulated, the Torah then has the following pasuk: Kol Eile Shiftei Yisrael Shnei Masar. These are the 12 Shvatim. Bezos Asher Diber Lahem Avihem VaYevarech Osam. This is what their father, namely Yaakov Avino, told them and blessed them. Ish Asher Kevir Chaso Berach Osam. So there's right away a tautology in the pasuk. That is to say, there seems to be something which is unnecessary. The Torah initially tells us, Vayivarech Hasam, he blessed them. And then the Torah seemingly repeats it, Ish Asher Kivirchaso Berach Hasam, which seems to be repetitive. So the Arachayim HaKadosh asked this question. Rashi asks another question. The Torah says, Ish asher kibirchaso berach osam. He gave them, each one, his bracha. Why does the Torah utilize Lashon Rabbim at the end? Since the Torah first mentions vayivarech osam, he blessed them both in klali, in general. And then he said each one individually was given a bracha, but it said osam, Lashon Rabbim. That's the question that Rashi poses. And the Arachayim HaKadosh poses the first question. Why did the Torah repeat this idea? First by Yevarech Hasam, and then Ish Asher Kibichasa Berech Hasam. So first we'll address the question of Rashi. So Rashi answers, why does it use Lashon Rabbim, Berech Osam? So Rashi answers in the following way. Rashi says, because he gave each of his sons in ways that were appropriate to their strengths and to their abilities. Namely, says Rashi, Nosan LeYehuda Gvura Sari. He recognized that Yehuda is especially equipped for leadership. He gave him the strength of a lion. Ulevinyamin chatifasal shel zev. And Binyamin is compared to a wolf, the ferocity of a wolf. Ule Naftali, says Rashi, kalusa shel ayelet. To Naftali, he's known for his alacrity, for his rizus, for his fleetedness, for being quick. So Rashi then says, Yochol Shalom Kolon Kulam B'chol HaBrachos. I might have thought that these abilities are specifically related to each individual. Says Rashi, Tamaloma Berachosam. In effect, the ability to act as a king is not just for Yehuda alone. The ability for Zrizus is not just for Naftali alone. The ability for Gvura is not just for Yehuda, but rather it applies to all Klal Yisrael. Because all of Klal Yisrael considered to be, the Gemara says in Shabbos, B'nei Melochim, the Gemara Daf Kuf Yud Aleph. Everyone has the traits of Zrizus, everyone has to develop those traits, the traits of Gevura. So all these traits, in effect, are individual, on the one hand, that there are specific individuals who exemplify these kochos. On the other hand, each one of us has some of those traits of every individual. So now, going to the second question that was asked by the Arachayim HaKadosh, why is the pasuk repeated? Now we can understand that as well. First, the Torah says, Vayivarech Hasam, and then it says, Ish Asher Kibirchasa Berach Hasam. Vayivarech Hasam means both in klali, in general, and then Ish Asher Kibirchasa Berach Hasam, bifrat, individually. There are 12 Shvatim. The Magen Avraham writes there are 12 approaches to Hashem Yisbarach. There are 12 different methodologies. And in effect, Rashi and the Arachayim HaKadosh are quite similar, each one coming from a different question, but more or less coming up with the same idea, with the same yesod. That the reason why, according to Rashi, the pasuk switches from the Lashon Yochid to Lashon Rabbim is, as I explained, because Rashi noted that all of us have traits of these individual koichas, but each one of us is blessed with a specific talent. Ish asher kibirchaso berachosam. So in effect, the qualities that Yaakov Avinu sees in each of the Shvatim, he transmits to all of them in some degree. Each one has his own strengths. Each one has his own special abilities. But we all have to strive as well to attain some of the other kochos of our fellow Shvatim. Practically speaking, there is a certain hierarchy. At the end of the day, Malchus is vested in Yehuda. Lo yosu shevim Yehuda mechoki ben raglov, as the pasuk says here in Vayichu. Only Yehuda is going to reign. And only Levi can do the avodah on the Beis Hamikdash. They are the meshorarim, they are the shorarim, they're the gatekeepers, they're the ones who sing in the Beis Hamikdash. And yet all these values are crucial for each one of us to obtain. You probably are aware that in the period of the Renaissance, still approximately the 17th century, there was a concept called Renaissance man. Renaissance man is someone who's knowledgeable, who's capable in many, many areas, but is the language of Chazal, Isha Eshkolos. These people would show interest and talent in one area, but were capable in many, many areas. And once science and technology began to advance, and in the more recent periods, there's a much greater tendency towards specialization. And it's understandable, given the insurmountable vastness of knowledge that's at our disposal. But there's always a price to be paid for this specialization. As a matter of fact, there's a fascinating expression. My father, Hashem, was very fond of this expression. And the expression goes like this. These days, we are learning more and more about less and less, so that ultimately, we'll know everything about nothing. So even though that's said in some degree of jest, but there's some element of emes to it, there's some element of truth to this idea. In the last century, it became very popular. People now write the history of one's nation. One person writes the 20-volume history of Italy. Someone else writes the 20-volume history of France. Today, an entire staff will work on researching a 5-year period in one's country's history. And Lahavdil, there have been parallel developments in the world of Torah as well. Great Talmidei Chachamim used to write works on essentially Kol HaTorah Kula. You read Hagoyin Rav Moshe Feinstein, who's of our generation. The Igros Moshe has tshuvas literally in Dal V'Chelka Shulchan Aruch. He spans the entire Torah. The Shagas Aryeh wrote on Kol HaTorah Kula. Today, what do we find? Lengthy Kuntresim on one very narrow topic. I remember I was once sitting in the kolo of Hagoyin Rabban Lichtenstein Zatzal, the son-in-law of Moran Hagoyin Rav Soloveitchik Zatzal, and someone came to the kolo and wanted to give a shiur. On what topic? The kolo was learning Perek Ha'orel and Yevamos. And he wanted to say a shiur on the sefer that he wrote. What sefer did he write? Hilchot Beis Hakiseh. He wrote an entire sefer on the halachas of Beis Hakiseh. Even though the kolo was not exactly learning that particular area, Ha'orel deals with issues of Truma and the like. So the Rosh Kolo let him say a shiur, and then there were many, many questions that people asked because Divrei Torah aniyim b'makom zeh v'ashirim b'makom acher. The words of Torah in one area may be limited, but one has to have a vast amount of knowledge. People write today on Achnasa Sefer Torah and Atvilas Kelim. So, of course, it has advantages. If you want to learn about Achnasa Sefer Torah, you're right away going to your computer, going to your Google Shlita, and you have all the material in one place. Everything is right there. You uncovered all the information. So even though, on the one hand, it's a sign of enrichment, unquestionably, because it's expertise in one area, but it's a very small area of Torah. And Torah, as the Pasuk says in Iyov, is so wide, is so vast, So in effect, that really is a sign of the Yiridas Hadoros. It's a sign of weakness of the Torah, not necessarily a sign of enrichment of the Torah. So all of us have to strive, on the one hand, for both depth, to learn Be'iyun, and at the same time, to learn Be'bikiyus, to have breadth of knowledge. That's why the Olam HaYeshivas, and that's why that's what you do. You learn Be'iyun in the morning and the afternoon. You try to cover, hopefully, the entire Masechta that you learn. You do that over the course of a number of years. You'll discover that Kol Pruta Pruta Mitzaber V'Sachesh Min Godol, as the Gemara says in Ba'al Basra, that little by little, you acquire knowledge, both Be'iyun and Be'kiyus, in hopefully many, many Masechtas. You say this in Kol HaTorah Kula. So we have to try to learn both in terms of breadth and depth. And that's exactly what the Torah is expressing over here in these psukim in Parshas Vayechi. The Torah says, Vayevarech Hasam, both in Kloli, but each one individually has a specific talent in a specific area. And hopefully all of you will become outstanding B'nai Torah, Tamani Chachamim, who will master as much of Torah as you possibly can, but ultimately, probably, you will have a very specific kind of area that you will ultimately develop with great expertise. My Rabbeim used to say, they used to compare actually, I asked them a number of times, what parish al Torah is the classic parish, is really the parish that I want you to study in order to develop Yesedi Hadas? And he answered all of them, Kemat Pe'echad Ramban. Ramban al Torah is critical, that he has so many fundamental principles that you simply can't get past. It's the Sfardim and Ashkenazim, Litvisha, Chsidisha, doesn't make a difference. Ramban is absolutely fantastic. So then I asked my Rabbein, what parallel parish is there in Tanakh that would compare to the Ramban al Torah? And they told me the Radak. Anyone who learns Tanakh without the Radak, and the Radak was a great Talmud Chacham, but the Radak is primarily known for his parish on Tanakh. The Malbim was a goon, was a giant, and yet he's not known for his Kiddushim in Halacha. The Mishnah Berurah quotes his Kiddushim all the time. And yet he's known primarily for what he did when he fought the Maskilim and he wrote an outstanding parish on Tanakh. So all Gedolei Yisrael, whatever specialization they may had, whether it was in Machshava or whether it was in Tanakh or other areas, were unquestionably great in their study of Gemara. There was a great Rosh Hashiva who was nifter a number of years ago, Rav Moshe Shmuel Shapira, Zechatzal Debracha. He was a goy nadir. You could talk to him in Maseches Kelim and in Psochim and any Masechta in Shas. He's a lamdan muflog. And yet, he was known primarily for his Machshava Shirurim. And in a similar fashion, Hagoyin of Yitzhak Hutner Zatzal, the Rosh Hashiva of Chaim Berlin, he wrote his first sefer on Maseches Nozir, on the Rambam. In Hilchos Naziris, I think he was 18 years old. He was known as the, Rav Soloveitchik used to call him, Devar Sheva Ilui, the Ilui from Warsaw. He was born in Warsaw in Poland. And Baruch Hashem, he escaped and came to the United States and founded the yeshiva. But he was primarily known for Pachad Yitzchok, for his unbelievable Yesodis and Machshava that he developed. So that's what's essentially I would like to address in the course of this discussion I'm going to have. I'm going to share with you that which I heard from one of the Gdolei HaMashgichim Shel Doreinu. I used to go to his shmuzin, to his sichot that he delivered on Shabbos afternoon. He would deliver these shmuzin in Kamenetz Yeshiva, Kamenetz in the near Meir Shorim. They actually recently built a new building, a massive building, a beautiful building, absolutely fantabulous. But then it was a very small yeshiva, and my brother Shlita, Hagoyin of Baron David, so he would attend these Musa Shmuzin regularly, Bovim Kavua. I only came then in Deipam Bafam, but at the same time, who came to the Shmuzin? Great Rashi Yeshiva, great Tamil Chachamim, one of the attendees who used to walk from Har Nof every Shabbos, from Har Nof to that area, Meir Shorim, was Hagoyin Rav Moshe Twersky, Zechatzalik Bekodesh Debracha, the one who was killed tragically, in that terrible Retzach in the shul in Har Nof a number of years ago. So Rav Moshe Aaron Stern was a tzaddik yisad olam. He was someone who was married to someone in the Briskeros family. He would give shmuzin. He actually spoke English fluently, spoke Yiddish fluently, spoke Hebrew fluently, And these shiurim, actually, that I heard, Rav Moshe Aaron Stern delivered in Kamenetz. I want to just share with you an idea which is relevant to the pasuk that I began with. Ish asher ki b'chaso b'erachosam. The Rambam writes in Hilchos Tshuva, in Perakei, the Rambam speaks about b'chira chavshis. Kayadua, as it's known to you, the Rambam includes free will, which is one of the most fundamental principles that Yadus has, that a person has a choice. And the Torah says, we can choose life. If one wants to be a tzaddik, one can be a great tzaddik. And everyone has the opportunity to be a tzaddik. On the other hand, everyone, chas v'shalom, can also move in the other direction. And God forbid, one could be an individual who can be evil, who can be a rasha, rachman al-litzlan. And the Rambam writes over there in Hilchos Tshuva that we don't subscribe to this notion that everything is predetermined. The concept of determinism, this was a very widely popular concept among the Gentile world, among the Goyim, that essentially there's no Bechira. But says the Rambam, and I read his Lashon, each person is either fit to be a tzaddik like Moshe Rabbeinu or a rasha like Yerovam. And that's why, since free will is in our hands, and we could decide what to do, so therefore we should do tshuva and abandon our wickedness, because the choice is in our hands. So unquestionably, we have to constantly probe our ways. The Mishnah Berurah writes that every night, when one says Kriya Shema Lamita, one has to make a cheshbon ha-nefesh. Then one should go ahead and, what did I do today? What did I accomplish? What could I have done? What did I not do? How could I improve my behavior tomorrow morning? The pasuk says in Eicha and Perigimel that the Navi tells us, Yirmiyahu Navi tells us that we should be choker our ways v'noshuv al Hashem and return to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Balayatosis right at the beginning of Parshas Re'eh, quoted by the Rambam, the pasuk says what I just mentioned in Dvarim, that the concept of Bechir HaChavshis is found twice in Dvarim. In the beginning of Re'eh Anochi Noisim Lefeichem Ayoyim Bracha Uklala, and also found in Nitzavim, where the Torah says, Uvacharta b'chayim. The Balei HaTosa says the following. They say, Dabar Acher, Moshe Rabbeinu says, look at me. I chose the path of good, and therefore I'm different from other people. So in effect, this is quite a statement. And what does the Rambam mean when he says that all of us can acquire the Madrega of Moshe Rabbeinu? That's not possible. The Pasuk says at the end of Sefer Dvarim, V'lo kom b'Yisrael Navi Oid K'moshe, Asher Yido Hashem Ponim El Ponim. In Nevuah, when it comes to prophecy, no one could possibly come to the Madrega of Moshe Rabbeinu. There never was and never will be a Navi like Moshe Rabbeinu. So what exactly does that mean? How is it possible that the Rambam says that one could become like Moshe Rabbeinu? And of course the answer is that the Rambam is talking about not Nevuah. In Nevuah, Moshe Rabbeinu was the greatest. However, the Rambam is telling us that that's what the Baal HaTurim goes to Medrash Tanchuma that I just mentioned. Moshe Rabbeinu tells Klal Yisrael, see my example and do the same. In every generation, there's someone like Moshe Rabbeinu. There is such a possibility. Not regarding Nevuah, that's not possible, but regarding Tzidkus, regarding righteousness and the like, we have the potential to be like Moshe Rabbeinu. We'll see what that means in a moment. There are many Gedolei Yisrael in our lifetime. I was zeichet to see a number of great Gedolei Yisrael, and others I was not zeichet to see. Rabbi Akiva Eiger, the Vilna Gaon, I did not see. We have no hasaga of their greatness, of how far their lofty levels of Talmud Torah and tzidkus and righteousness and Avodas Hashem and Yirat Shamayim are way beyond our perception. And yet the Rambam says everyone has the capacity to reach the level of Moshe Rabbeinu. And there's a famous Tanad Velio. When I learned in the yeshiva in Itre in Yushalayim in 1971-72, the Mashgiach was Agoin Atzadik, Rabbi Yamin Zilber. The Chazanish called him Rabbi Yamin Atzadik. He was an incredible tzadik of a person. Also, Mechaber of many Svarim. He used to give Shurim and Halach and Hilchah Shabbos. He wrote many Svarim, many Shells and Chubis. So he was very fond of quoting a Tanad Velio, that the Elio Rabba says, Chayav Adam Lomar, a person should say, Masai Yagiu Masai, the Masai Avram Yitzchak Yaakov. When will my deeds reach the level of my ancestors, Avram Yitzchak Yaakov? This is also an impossible statement to understand. Can I possibly attain the level, the Madrega of Avram Yitzchak Yaakov? the distance between us and the others is so great, we don't have a faintest idea as to their madrega. Chazal, the Gemara says in Brachos, the Gemara points out on Tezayin of Abayz that and currently Avos El Shlosha, only three people are called Avos, namely Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov. Their level is so high, the madrega is so great, no one could possibly achieve anywhere near. So Rabbi Yamin HaTzadik, Rabbi Yamin Zilber, the great Mashgiach of Yitzri, used to say, Mosa Yagia, Yagia, I quoted the Sfas Emes, when can I have a tangency? So I can't reach their madrega, but let me at least aspire and try my best to be as close as possible, see them as my models. So going back to the original question, namely, how could the Rambam say that all of us can attain the Madrega of Moshe Rabbeinu? As we indicated, in Nevuah, that's not possible. There's no way that one could be a Navi of the stature of Moshe Rabbeinu. He was distinct, sweet, generous, completely unique. But what does the Rambam mean? So Hagoyin of Achan Vasim means that's how Hashem Yim Kom Dama, a Talmud of both the Chavetz Chaim, Zatzal, and Rav Chaim Briska Zatzal, he asked this question in a very beautiful sefer called Kovitz Ma'amorim. He quotes this Rambam, that every person can be a tzaddik like Moshe Rabbeinu, and he says that even though the Torah testifies there's no one comparable to him, that's referring to his level in Nevuah, and not Tzidkus. So no one can reach the level of Moshe Rabbeinu, which means, says Rav Elchanan Wasserman, also the level of his Tzidkus. So what does the Rambam mean? So Rav Elchanan answers that Moshe Rabbeinu was called an Eved Hashem. Do you remember the end of Sefer Dvarim? When Moshe Rabbeinu passes away, the Torah says, Vayod Moshe, Eved Hashem. And the beginning of Sefer Yoshua, Moshe Rabbeinu is also called Eved Hashem. He's considered to be a servant of Hashem, his Baruch. And the Radak explains in the beginning of Sefer Yoshua, Perek Aleph, Pasuk Aleph, the meaning of Eved Hashem is a person who dedicates his whole strength, his whole concentration, all of his energies towards carrying out the will of Hashem, his Baruch. Even when he's taking care of worldly matters, he does so only l'shem shamayim, as the Rambam writes in Hilchos Deos. The person eats, the person drinks, the person sleeps in order to be able to function properly. And all this is a means to an end in order to become the ideal Eved Hashem, the one can possibly become. Avram Avinu is called Avram Avdi. David HaMelech is called the servant of Hashem. The Nevi'im are called the servants of Hashem. So Rav Elchanan goes on to explain the following. He says, what is the meaning of a servant of an Eved? So the Gemara says a number of times that an Eved, Mashakana Eved Kana Rabo, he has no ownership of anything. Whatever he owns is not his own, belongs to his master. Yad Eved Ki Yad Rabo, the hand of a servant is like the hand of his master. If a servant buys something, it's considered as if the master purchased it. So that was the relationship of Moshe Rabbeinu with Hashem Yisbarach. All of his capabilities, all of his senses, all of his thoughts were dedicated to Avodas Hashem. He didn't use them for any other purpose. He lived for 120 years. And the Torah tells us, at the end of Sefer Dvarim, that his eyes did not lose their sight. His body did not lose its freshness. His whole life was dedicated completely to the service of Hashem. And that's the midah that's required of every Jewish person. Everything that a person has should in effect try to be dedicated to Hashem is Baruch. That's exactly the level of Moshe Rabbeinu. So therefore, it says Rav Elchanan Wasserman that if a person will work with all of his power for thousands of years, he won't be able to even reach the heels of Moshe Rabbeinu because no one had the strength and the understanding of Moshe Rabbeinu. However, it doesn't mean that we're going to diminish the value of a simple person. A poor individual, the Torah tells us, is able to achieve his obligation with the karban that he brings, the karban of an ani, according to his financial means, just like a rich man with his sacrifice. The Gemara says in Menachos, Echan Amarbe, Echan Amamid, Ulvachi Echam and Libel HaShamayim. One can bring more and one can bring less, as long as the intentions of my heart are the Shem Shamayim. That's what the Rambam means, says Rav Elchanan Wasserman, that every person can be a tzaddik like Moshe Rabbeinu. It means that every person can live up to their potential. And in that respect, if all of us live up to our potential, then we become, in effect, servants of Hashem is Barak, similar to Moshe Rabbeinu. It's easy to understand that a person who earns $1,000 a month and gives $100 to tzedakah, so he's been zoche to give meiser. If another person earns $1,000,000 a month and donates $100,000 for tzedakah, he also gave meiser. And obviously that tzedakah that the second person gave will go much further because he built Torah institutions, he supported hundreds of poor families. What about the individual with $100 accomplish? Maybe he helped a few families to some extent, and nevertheless, a person is only obligated to give tzedakah according to his means, according to his resources, according to his own matzav, his own situation. If he owns $1 million, then he's obligated to donate $100,000. If he only has $1,000, he's only obligated to give $100 for tzedakah. So both of these people have achieved the same status. A person has to know he's being required to give himself according to his means. If I can devote my entire life to be completely dedicated to Hashem Yisbarach, and I realize my potential, says Avochan of Vassaman, then I've reached the level of Moshe Rabbeinu in Tzidkus. And that's exactly what the intention of the Rambam is when the Rambam says that all of us can achieve the potential of Moshe Rabbeinu. Not in Nevuah, not when it comes to prophecy, that's not possible. That Hashem Yisbarach indicated is unique to Moshe Rabbeinu. Lokom b'Yisrael Navi k'Moshe, Asher Yidao Hashem Panim al Panim. He has a Panim al Panim kind of relationship with Hashem Yisbarach, what Chazal speak of, Aspaklar Yameira. He sees things with a clarity, with a vision that none of us can possibly have. However, in another respect, namely in terms of achieving our potential, all of us have the ability to achieve our potential. Each one, each one according to the strengths, intellectual, emotional, and other qualities each one of us has. And we certainly have the capability of, as the pasuk says, ish asher kibir choso berach oson. Each one of us is given a bracha. We have elements of the brachas of every other individual, of every other shevet, but we are specifically endowed with very specific talents to each one of us individually, and that certainly we can utilize to fulfill our potential. There's a very famous Tanit Eliyahu, famous medrash that's often quoted. Eliyahu HaNavi actually is talking about himself. He said that once he was walking from place to place, and a person who hadn't learned Chumash or Mishnayos or Tanakh met him, and this person was making fun of everybody. And he came to greet Eliyahu HaNavi. So Eliyahu HaNavi asked him, what are you going to do after 120 years? When the Yom HaDin is going to be had, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will confront you, and you have not learned anything, and you're making fun of everybody else. What are you going to say about your conduct in the Yom HaDin? So he told Eliyahu HaNavi, don't worry, I have an answer. That Hashem did not give me any understanding, didn't give me any knowledge. I don't have the ability to learn Torah, and that's why I'm potter. I'm exempt. So Eliyahu HaNavi asked him, what do you do for a living? And he answered that he's a fisherman. He catches fish. So Eliyahu asked him, who taught him how to get the flax and how to weave nets and how to be able to set them up in the sea in order to catch the fish? That requires a fair amount of talent. You have to know how to comb the flax, how to weave it in order to make the nets. You have to know how to get into the sea. You have to know how to put the bait in order to get the fish to come into the net. Then you have to be able to catch the fish. So the man answered, for that type of trade, he was given intelligence from Hashem. So Eliyahu HaNavi asked him, how is it that you were endowed with the knowledge to weave flax into traps, catch the fish from the sea, and yet for the learning of Torah, in which the Torah says, Kikar Belecha Dove Ma'od, Beficha Bevocha La'asoso, that which is close to you, that you don't have talent. So the man began to cry, and he began to bewail his fate. So Eliyahu HaNavi told him, you're not the only one who answers the question as he did. Other people do the same. Everyone thinks they'll answer the same way. I don't have the intelligence to learn. But when it comes to other subjects and pursuits, whether it's in business or in the world of science or mathematics, Baruch Hashem, they're very capable. They're quite capable. So for that which they have a desire, they have an abundance of knowledge. So in effect, we have to be exceptionally careful not to engage in fooling ourselves, not to dupe ourselves. All of us have keichas, all of us have talents, all of us have tremendous ability to achieve our potential and to come to great heights, not just in areas of material success, but obviously spiritually as well. All of us can become outstanding b'nei Torah and tamanei chachamim. There's a well-known pasuk in Tehillim. David HaMelech says, Kiner l'ragli dvarecha, v'or l'nesivasi. It's in Tehillim Kuf Yutes, which is a famous parak in Tehillim, because it has the Aleph Beis, Pasuk, Kuf Hei. David HaMelech says, your word is a candle for my feet, Kiner l'ragli dvarecha, your dvarim Hashem is a ner l'ragli, and v'or l'nesivasi, it's a light for my path. So Chazal say, once it says ner, why does it say or? Why does the pasuk have to bring two expressions which are identical? So Chazal answered, David HaMelech is using these words in regard to learning Torah. When he simply recites Direi Torah, he immediately stops. However, when he delves deeply into Torah, then he approaches many psochem of Direi Torah, and many shorim, and many gates are opened up for him. What Chazal is telling us is something awesome. When a person starts to learn, so we know kol haschalos kashos, all the beginnings are very hard. Even psochem, you have to try hard to understand the meaning of the Gemara. You don't necessarily grasp it right away. Some of the words are foreign to you. Some of the concepts are not known to you. And now, especially to read a Rashi, or to read a Rashbam in Arabic Psochim, that sometimes is lengthy, or to read a Tesis and an explanation of Rabbi Akiva Eiger on the Tesis, on the Rashi. How can a person understand Tesis of Rabbi Akiva Eiger, yet I can't comprehend the plain meaning of the Gemara? But when a person starts to make an effort like a ner, a small candle, which doesn't shed much light, he exerts himself and toils in Torah, despite all the difficulties, little by little, he'll be met with a great light. Many, many shorim will be open for him. In the course of talking to a number of Talmidim in the last several weeks, many of them told me that this is exactly what happened during the Caleb Challenge. That initially, the Torah was likened to a kind of ner, a small candle, and all of a sudden, in the course of the Caleb Challenge, when they were learning with tremendous hasmada, with tremendous diligence, with industriousness, all of a sudden, the Torah became, from an air, it was transformed into an or, into a great light. And that's also discussed as well in the Messias HaSharim, in Perek Chavav of Messias HaSharim. He's talking about Kedusha. How does the person acquire the Midah of Kedusha? He writes that Kedusha is a double-edged sword. It's twofold. Its beginning is hard work, but the end is tremendous char. The beginning is ishtadlus, a lot of effort. The end is a matana. And Chazal say, Adam mekadesh atzmo ma'at, if a person sanctifies himself a small amount, he's going to be sanctified a great deal. Adam mekadesh atzmo ba'olam hazeh, Hashem mekadesh also is going to, the olam haba. Of course, it's not easy. So what kind of effort does a person have to put in? So the Messias HaSharim answers that a person should be removed completely from materialism. That's very difficult. Not an easy thing to do. Of course, all of us have to eat and have to drink and have to relax and have to engage in whatever activities are necessary in order for us to have Yishuv Adas. But at the same time, our ultimate intention is to return to Avodas Hashem, and we should see everything as a means to an end. That's what the Rambam writes in Hilchos Deos. Everything we do, all our physical actions, all our physical activities are a means to an end in order to enhance our Avodas Hashem. And of course, it's difficult, the Messias HaSharim said, because we're all Basar Adam. We're made of flesh and blood. But the end result of striving for Kedusha, a person will receive it as a matana. And that's what actually the Gemara has in Avodah Zarah, Daf Yutes. The Gemara has a similar kind of concept that a person goes from level to level, from Madrega to Madrega. And ultimately, the Torah is given to that person as a matana. Uminatana Nachliel, Uminachliel Bamos. Higher and higher. So how does a person start on the road to Kedusha? By putting all of his efforts into its pursuit and persisting and trying to understand it. The end result is that Hashem will lead him on the road that he wants to go. As the Gemara says in Makos, B'derech she'ad rov tzelelech molichen also. The way a person wants to go, Hashem will give you Siyata Dishmaya. Hashem will bestow Kedusha upon you. Will sanctify you. You'll be able to cling to Hashem on an ongoing, constant kind of way. I remember once in Shir, Rav Soloveitchik Zatzal commented, we were astounded. We were talking about, the Gemara says that ein adam chote elokei nichnas abo ruach shtus. The person will not commit a sin unless some shtus enters him, unless some silliness comes to him. So Rav Soloveitchik said, how is it possible for a person to commit a chet if one has Hashem Yisbarach in front of him, Hashem Yisbarach is surrounding me, there's no way one could possibly commit a chet. So I was going to answer, it's quite simple, it's not difficult at all. But I didn't say anything. He couldn't understand how it's possible to commit any transgression, commit any chet. He had the sense of Hashem is Baruch enveloping and encompassing him 24/7. And I didn't have that sense. But we have to try to develop that sense as best we can. So why can't we acquire this level? How can we learn three sdarim in the yeshiva? As one of the Shana'al students told me, three sdarim of Gemara? Have we lost it? Have we gone totally bonkers? What are they demanding from us? How's that possible? Okay, the first Seder. But the first Seder, of course, I have 7 coffee breaks and maybe a ragalach in the middle. And then maybe a few telephone calls while I'm at it. And the second Seder, if I arrive there at 4 o'clock, what a nace that I appeared at 4 o'clock and I stayed till about 4:45. That's already, I'm already on Baltasif. Too much. I've somehow basically gone beyond my limits. And a third Seder, obviously I'm going to need a break. I believe there's a break of several hours between the Siddurim. So why is it not possible? The answer is, if someone steigs, then one is capable of learning 3 Siddurim, and one is capable of, in effect, becoming a great Talmud Chacham. Undoubtedly, that's exactly what will happen. The Chazon Ish actually used to learn together with many Chavrusas, and people much younger than him would get exhausted at a certain point and say they can't continue. They just were worn out. The Chazon Ish said, Hashem just wants us to put in the maximum effort, to maximize our ability. Again, not to go beyond the normal amount of time. Of course, we have to sleep, and we have to eat, and we have to drink, and we have to relax, and we have to engage in sports, whichever ones we enjoy, which will give us a chance to vent and to have to channel our energies in a beautiful kind of way, in a nice way, especially if we win all the time. That's even better. But whatever the case is, unquestionably, that Hashem wants a person to exert himself and to overpower his tendency to say that it's too hard. And unquestionably, lo abayshon lo mein, the person who's bashful is not going to learn Torah. The person has to humble himself. He has to show he's willing to learn Torah. Our Salvation used to say in Yiddish, he used to say, avila is besser v'yakena. Someone who wants to learn Torah is even better than someone who can't. So all the people in front of me on the screen are not only people who can learn Torah because you have the kishronos, but you also want to learn Torah. And when a person has desire, that desire can overcome any kind of inhibition, any difficulty can be overcome with the desire. And the key to learning Torah, as we've said many, many times, is hasmoda. The Gemara says in Nida, harotze sheyachkim yarbe b'yeshiva. If a person wants to become the Talmud Chacham, he has to sit. He has to simply devote himself to that, and it's certainly possible. So going back to Avochanav Asimin Zatzal, in the context of the Rambam, a person is able to elevate himself to the level of Moshe Rabbeinu. Again, not in Nebuah. If we were to live for thousands of years, we wouldn't be able to achieve that level of Nebuah. However, in terms of each of us achieving our potential, there's no question all of us are capable of achieving that kind of potential. All of us are capable of reaching incredible heights. And there's no doubt that ultimately, we see from this week's Parsha as well, that Torah ultimately, when it's against Malchus, Ephraim and Menashe, when we examine these two personalities, so we know that Ephraim was Rogil, Eitzel Yaakov Avinu. He used to learn with his grandfather. And from Ephraim came Yoshua. Rashi quotes, Ochi v'akoton yigdal mimenu, the bracha that's given to Ephraim and Menashe, that he's going to be greater than Menashe. He also, Menashe, yigdal, he's going to become great. But Ochi v'akoton yigdal mimenu, v'zariyeh melo agoyim. So Rashi says, Yoshua is going to ultimately become the leader of Klal Yisrael, will lead us in Eretz Yisrael, and he will teach Torah to Am Yisrael. That's how Rashi quotes over here in Vayechi, Perek Mem Ches. You'll take a look from Psukim Yud Dalid all the way to Yutes. Moshe Kibel Torah Misinah Misar Yoshua, Yeshua Liskenim. He's the one who ultimately became the successor to Moshe Rabbeinu in terms of transmitting the Masorah, transmitting to Torah. Now from Nasha also emerged great people, namely Gidon and Shoftim Perek Vob. He was a Shefet, and he also was responsible for the Yeshua, for the salvation of Klal Yisrael. He was not in the same Madrega as Yeshua ben Nun, Gidon, HaShofet, both great people, but Yeshua that came out of Ephraim, that Rashi quotes in Bereshis over there, Kol Ha'olam Yismalei B'tzei Shoma U'shmok She'yamu D'chama B'givom V'yarech V'emek Ayolom. So the Torah says, V'yosem es Ephraim lifnei Menashe. Ephraim was placed by Yaakov Avinu before Menashe, and Ephraim, as I said, was the one who was connected to his grandfather. He learned with his grandfather. And as I said, even though Menashe unquestionably was also a manig, and he was the one who directed, who was essentially the superintendent of Yosef's household in Mitzrayim. We see this from a number of Mamari Chazal, almost like a Din Melech or a Sgan Melech, but a Talmud Chacham takes precedence over a king. Yaakov was Mechabit Ephraim, who's involved in the study of Torah more than Menashe, who's Osig B'Malchus. And the truth is, the Gemara says, a well-known Gemara, the Gemara comments actually that If I had in Hurrius, Nafu Gimel, Masayas Hurrius, Nafu Gimel, and Aleph, the Gemara says, Melech with Tamachachem Shenafu Bashevi. If God forbid a Melech and Tamachachem both are taken captive, both fall into captivity, who do we say first? The Mishnayis and Hurrius speak about Dine Kedima, who actually has a Din Kedima to be saved before the other. And the answer is the Tamachachem is Kodem to saving a Melech Yisrael. Why? Says the Gemara, Melech Shemes. I mentioned earlier that we're all B'nai Melachim, a king who dies, so all of Klal Yisrael can become Melachim. However, Chacham Shemes, Ein Lanu Ki Yotzei Bo. The chisaron of a Melach, one can be mashlim by appointing another king. The chisaron of a Talmud Chacham, one cannot be mashlim by appointing another Talmud Chacham in his place. Because each Talmud Chacham is unique, each Talmud Chacham is, as the Gemara says, Ein Lanu Ki Yotzei Bo. There's no one like that Talmud Chacham. That Talmud Chacham is distinctive. I had many, many Rabbeim and Gedolei Yisrael that I was zechut to learn with. Each one was absolutely unique and distinctive, whether it was Hagoyin Rav Soloveitchik Zatzal, whether it was Hagoyin Rav Nissim Albert Zatzal, Hagoyin Rav Tzvi Kanatopsky Zatzal, Hagoyin Rav Aaron Lichtenstein Zatzal, and many other Goyinim that I was zechut to learn from, Hagoyin Rav Nemetzol Shlita. Each one is different than the other. Each Talmud Chacham is a barrier b'fnei atzma. The chidushim that one Talmud Chacham is mechadesh, another Talmud Chacham is not going to be mechadesh. Rav Shimon Shkop, Zatzal, cannot write the Chiddushim of Rav Chaim HaLevi, and Rav Chaim HaLevi cannot write the Chiddushim of Rav Shimon Shkop. What the Vilna Gaon wrote, the Rambam did not write. What the Rambam wrote, the Vilna Gaon did not write. And therefore, you have to be potter the Talmud Chacham before a Melech. A Talmud Chacham takes precedence over a king. And that's why Yaakov is Makdim, Ephraim to Menashe. Ephraim is more an Ish Torah, a Talmud Chacham. Menashe is more of an Ish Malchus. We obviously need both, unquestionably. We need Manhigim, we need leaders, we need Melochim, but we primarily need great Talmid Chacham. So right now you're in the mode of Baruch Hashem, hopefully learning to become great Talmid Chacham and great B'nai Torah, who will unquestionably, all of you, individually, collectively, you'll be mekayim the pasuk that we began with. Ish asher kibichaso berachosam. I'll just be mesayim with a very famous story that's quoted actually by the Stipler, Zechatzar Debracha, in his Sefer Chaya Olam, which I'm sure our Mashkiach, our beloved Mashkiach, Rav Yudah Blavatsky Shlita, has probably told you endless times. The Chayyolam, the Stipler, tells over what's written in a Sefer called the Chut HaMeshulash, which is a biography of the Chassam Sefer. And there he tells over the following story that was told by Rav Shimon Sofer. He was the Abbezin in Krakow in Poland, about a Talmud who came to the Chassam Sofer. He was 16 or 17 years old, not far from your age. And he indicated he wanted to learn Torah. He had a great cheshik to learn Torah. But the other bachurim in the yeshiva saw him, and they spoke to him, and they realized he was a young person. Also, he didn't have much knowledge. And how could he possibly learn and be successful? So the Chassam Sofer became very angry at the other talmidim and said, "Why are you laughing? Anyone who wants to learn is able to learn." And he was mekarev this young man, and he told the bachurim in the yeshiva they should be kovei hazman, they should become his chavrusas. This should the one learn with him 1 hour, this one hour. And all of them did so. They followed what their Rebbe told them to do. However, beside the fact that he was a young man, 17, 18 years old, but he had, unfortunately, he was not a great Baal Kishron. He had difficulty comprehending the Gemara, and he forgot very quickly everything he learned. So if you learn with him a Mishnah 100 times, he forgot it maybe a half hour later. And the next day, Kielu, he never learned that Mishnah. He never saw that Mishnah Bichlal. But he had still a great Cheshik for Torah, and the Chassam Sofer kept being Mechazikim. And the Gemara says, "Habo the tire, Mesayulo." Anyone who comes to go ahead and learn Torah and to ascend and to rise on the level of going up to the Sulam Ha'ole Beisel will be Zecha to Siyata Nishmaya. And after an extended period of time, a number of years, he became a Bacher who was a Ben Torah and a Talmud Chacham Muflag Bat Torah with great Yirah Shamayim. And he continued to go higher and higher because he was a Masmid, a Shakton Chen Kamo, till he became, later on, many years later, a great Gadol Torah, became a well-known Dayan, a Rav of a city, Mannersdorf, under the aegis of his Rebbe, and then became a Rav in a larger city. He was a massive Talmud Chacham. So one sees that the only thing that prevents a person from becoming a Talmud Chacham is Yeyush. The person gives up hope. It's too difficult. I can't do it. I have a lot of frustrations. That's not a sufficient reason for a person not to literally, completely, totally dedicate himself to the study of Torah, irrespective of what my kishronos are, whether one has great kishronos or small kishronos. In my lifetime, I've seen many people with average kishronos achieve incredible amounts of knowledge in Talmud Torah become great Talmidei Chachamim. Not always they're the biggest Balei Seichel, the biggest Balei Kishur, and the biggest Talmidei Chachamim. So it's my bracha to all of you that the way Yaakov Avinu told his children, Ish Asher Kibichaso Berachosam, all of you should have specific talents in specific areas, the specialization I spoke about earlier, but at the same time, be zoche to a lot of the other koiches that all the Shvatim have. And I can tell you that it's Badik Umanuse, that if one is a masmid and one is a shakdon, one is diligent and industrious in the study of Torah, doesn't waste any time, learns this Dharm as he should, chazes the Gemara, chazes the Mishnayos, chazes the Shurim, that his Rebbe said, every single one of you can become a wonderful Ben Torah, and Be'ez Hashem, a Tam Chacham, Tam Nechacham will emerge from this yeshiva as they have, and Halavai, Be'ez Hashem, is Baruch, will also be Zeicha to see a number of you who will become Gdol Yisrael, the Netzach Nitzachim, Amen Yomek.
Amen.
Thank you, Shiva.
You're very welcome, Shikach.